Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Scott McKay, political analyst for the Publix Radio. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome as our guest, Sue Cianchi, the newly elected chairwoman of the Rhode Island Republican Party. Congratulations on your election, and thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for the invitation. I'm pleased to be here.
Sue, you are abundantly aware that Republicans have a very meager presence in the General Assembly, just 14 of 113 legislative seats, 9 in the House and 5 in the Senate. You have said that as chairwoman of the GOP, you will focus on the legislature. So what is your plan for electing more Republicans?
Yes, absolutely right. We have 9 and 5, so 14 altogether. And our plan is to strive for 25 reps and strive for lucky 13, because you cannot effectuate change in the state without getting our numbers up. So we're going to get out into the community. We're going to be present and visible. We're going to be vocal, and we're going to look for those candidates, do a heavy recruitment of candidates, and then we're going to help those candidates fundraise, get out and get elected.
How are you going to go about candidate recruitment? Because it's difficult to get anyone to run for office, and perhaps especially so for a party that does not have a lot of representation. So how will you go about doing that?
So we're changing the organizational structure. You know, it has been basically a volunteer organization. So we want to professionalize that. And in order to do that, we have to raise some money, but we have to have a good message. And I think our message is going to be focused in on three areas. Certainly, people have heard it over and over again, I hope. What's left in your wallet? That means how much money do you have left over after the government has taxed you to death? And that's exactly what's happening. And when I say tax you to death, they're even taxing funeral things. They're taxing prayer cards and cemeteries. So you are being taxed from the moment you are born in Rhode Island to the moment after you die. What's left in your wallet? How much expendable income will you have left? Because you got to pay your tax bill. You have to pay that. It's the one bill that doesn't go away. That's one thing. The other thing is the quality of education. We're going to focus in on that, and that should be a message that speaks to everybody. When you look at the test scores that have come out, third graders are not reading at grade level. Why? Let's look at the scientific data based on literacy. Are we training our teachers how to teach the children how to read? And if the children cannot read in this state, they cannot be successful. And the third thing is businesses. Are we attracting businesses, and are we keeping the 80% of businesses that are mom and pop businesses? We're overregulating and overtaxing them. What happens on a big picture? We're losing population. The biggest segment of population that is leaving is our 21 to 30-year-olds. They're leaving in droves. And our seniors are leaving because they can't afford to stay here. But yet, look what the governor has done. She has introduced a $10 billion budget. So there are less and less people that are paying that tax bill. There's less money in your pocket. So you need to pay your mortgage, you need to pay your apartment rent, you want to get a car so you can go to work, or even pay for the bus fare.
Let me hold you there, and let's go to a question from Scott.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, if this all sounds good, and you're certainly hitting the right notes, and no matter where you come from on the ideological spectrum, we do know that we need a stronger two-party system and certainly a lot more competition. Way too many legislative seats are the incumbents running unopposed, and there's something deeply wrong with that. On the other hand, I'm just wondering, if you're going to do death and taxes, and of course the Democrats running the legislature, that seems like something that's always happened here. And I just wonder how you're going to be able to raise sufficient amounts of money.
It's going to be a task, and it's an 8-year plan. I say that I'm only the beginning. We have to start with, I'm hugely enthusiastic. I want to get out there in front of the media. I want everybody to know what the Republican Party stands for. So we have to really focus in on what our message is going to be, number one. After the message comes money. I've already got a group working on events, planning, getting fundraising up and going. I've got someone that's running candidate recruitment to get out in the community, and I'm tapping those young Republicans. We have a re-energized young Republican under the leadership of Matthew Martinez. He is terrific. He's engaged. We've got people from the America Future First Foundation. They are young. They are all under 40. They understand what is happening to their paychecks. So we're just going to re-energize people to come to our side, and even look at the conservative Democrats. They're being left behind. The progressives are pushing them further and further to the left. So what we call Kennedy-esque Democrats in the 50s are being pushed aside. So we want to welcome those conservative Democrats, the independents and the Republicans to our side, because for 80 years, the Democrats have controlled this state. And look at the economic indicators that have come out. Terrible. You know, the rest of the country may be moving in one direction, which is up. Rhode Island's moving down. We want to stop that.
Well, let's switch gears and talk a little bit about the General Assembly. The House of Representatives this week passed a firefighter overtime bill that would allow firefighters to earn overtime if they work more than 42 hours a week. Supporters call this a matter of fairness, but opponents, including many cities and towns, say this would drive up costs for Rhode Island municipalities. Sue Cianchi, we can remember when Providence Mayor Jorge Lorza imposed a 56-hour work week on Providence firefighters back in 2015. That led to a lot of upheaval and higher overtime costs. So would you put part of the responsibility for this overtime bill on Mayor Lorza?
No. What I want to say is the overtime bill, I think, is a really bad bill. And it's bad for a number of reasons. Mostly because the League of Cities and Towns has come out in great opposition to this. And every town council and school committee across the state should be worried about this. It takes away a tool out of the toolbox of the municipalities. If you're going to argue for collective bargaining, which should be a fair and equitable way to negotiate your contracts, it takes away a tool. And every municipality is a little bit different. Providence is different from Westerly. And it takes away the ability to negotiate the schedule that works for that community. In 2012, I believe, there was a court case that said that's a management right. It's a management right to be able to negotiate what the firefighter schedule is. They're going to take that away, because if it's automatic overtime at 42 hours, you take away a tool from the municipalities.
Scott, what's your explanation for why the legislature backed this at a time when we hear Rhode Island also has among the highest firefighting protection costs in the country?
Well, I think it's pretty simple. The unions have a lot of clout at the State House. And the reason they have that clout is because they work very, very hard in elections. Unlike the business community, the small business community in this state, a lot of those folks have given up on the Republican Party. They just hire a lobbyist to defend their interest at the State House, and that's what they've done. Whereas the unions have always been deeply involved in Democratic politics. They're out there walking door to door when the speaker has a tough race. And so that's why this is happening. I think the bad part of this is they're abrogating local control, and I think you're taking things away from firefighters. I wish, in attacking these costs, the State House would actually finally come down and say, we've got to do some strong regionalization. We have way too many fire departments in this state.
So it seems like the high watermark for Rhode Island Republicans was back in the 1980s and early 90s. Claudine Schneider won as a congresswoman. Susan Farmer won at the state level. There were more Republican representatives. Does that show that the Rhode Island GOP needs to be more moderate to be more successful?
Well, I think we need to just reach out to everyone. What I was so energized about when we had our state election for the party chair, the room was very diverse. There were a lot of women. There were people from the LGBT community. There were men. There were minority communities representative. So to me, it re-energized me even more to say we are reaching people and talking about issues that matter to them the most.
All right. We're out of time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And the new chairwoman of the Rhode Island Republican Party, Sue Cianchi, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
As usual, you can find a lot more on our website at the publicsradio.org. I'm Ian Donis.